Hang in there, it is.
Smiley Kaufman for 61. Wow.
I'm Smiley Kaufman, and this is The Smiley Show.
Welcome back to another episode of The Smiley Show. I'm Charlie Hume. He's Smiley Kaufman. And this one, we're going to do a little bit of, I want to say unique episode, but we've been doing a lot of tour golf talk and some long form interviews with an eye on TGL. It's had a lot of, you know, interesting developments, came out of the gate strong with 2 weeks of big ratings. And then those matches were also kind of blowouts in a way. So we were trying to figure out what does this thing look like when we have something real to evaluate it on. That third week, dipped a little bit, but we were back super strong with Jupelink, Smiley's Jupies against the Boston Common Ball Frogs, played a close match, then went OT last night. So recapping that, Smiley, here's actually where I want to start before we get to TGL is a text thread yesterday. I'm zagging entirely. Because I have to thank you wholeheartedly for introducing Koneka sausage to my life. It is now Walker's favorite thing in the whole world. This morning made pancakes and Koneka sausage. Seen him happier. Oh, the kid loves it.
Hey, anything that you find that your kid likes, like last night, Anna Carter was just crushing the green beans. I'm like, Fran, whatever you did tonight, remember that exactly how you made the green beans. She ate like seven of them in a row. We're like, oh my gosh. Because like she used to eat so dang good and ate so many things. She eats salmon, sweet potatoes, all these, like every, you know, corner of the food groups we were hitting with her. And now it's just like we can just get her to eat anything. That's I feel like, how are you living? You know, like how are you, you know, what energy are you feeding off of? Because like what does a bowl of ranch do for you, like from a nutritional standpoint?
Yes, I wonder this all the time. Like there have been stretches where Walker seems to run entirely on smoothies, but toddlers it's a game of regressions, right? Right. It's like you're going great until you're not going great. And so that's kind of life right now. But we found something with the Koneka. I pulled it out unexpectedly. He was pointing at the plate and said, try. And then here we are just hammering Koneka and pancakes, about as good as it gets.
I love it. It's, gosh,
just, dog we're, shoal.
We're just a transition just here ever so slightly, you know. it's just the dog days of winter, you know. Like it feels like every time it rains and I go outside on my dormant grass and I'm thinking, how would I chip off of this right now? But all I want to do right now is like I have the itch to go practice, play, you know, just be outside. And I am really just looking forward to golf season. Like, what about you? Like, that's why March is so tough, is that it's a little warmer weather, but the courses are just in the worst shape.
I'm the exact same way. We've had, as you and I have documented, a brutally cold winter here in the South. Hope Valley's been closed for the majority of January. I'm trying to sneak out a couple times. I'm making the quickest of trips out to the West Coast this week to see my grandparents, see my granddad. We might try to play on Friday.
When are you leaving?
It'd be nice. Leaving Thursday afternoon and heading back on Saturday. So just basically there Friday.
What are you on?
United.
Okay. So you go through Chicago?
Through Denver.
Okay. That's nice. Yeah. You kind of get the first bit.
And into Monterey, which is crucial.
They have that Denver to Monterey flight. I've been on that.
It's so looking forward to that one. Looking forward to maybe hitting a few golf balls in warmer weather. But, you know,
it's
to really
not that much more like it's, you know, how it is out there. You just put on like your, you know, a sweater like I'm wearing today. And it's like just that would be just warm enough.
By the way, thanks for referencing that sweater, because we've had extended conversation off camera about the sweater with our RLX piece. So as Smiley's noted, so Smiley, of course, RLX athlete, RLX personality, of course, and he's told us the bear is back in. So if you're watching on YouTube, this bear is so in. I don't know if RLX wants me to say that what that bear is holding is a Bloody Mary, but that's what I think that bear is holding is a Bloody Mary.
I'm pretty sure it's sweet tea.
He's got overalls on and he's got one of the overalls on button. I mean, that's got to be the coolest bear on earth right there.
It's a vibe. You know, he's got the little driver kind of lean up. But I have, you know,
fashion
a bunch of different bear sweaters. And for the longest time, you know, I just wasn't wearing them. And then Fran I just hear rummaging upstairs. I was like, what are you doing? She's like, do you have bear sweaters? I'm like, yeah. And she knows that they're in. So now she's like hijacking all my bear sweaters.
Yeah, I so hot right now. You got the bear sweater. Fran's got the bear sweater. Sounds like Anna Carter's got a couple of bear sweaters.
She does. Yeah.
I might look into a bear sweater or two for Walker and I. Maybe like a father-son matching bear sweater situation. But then, of course, I need to get one for Amanda and I need to get one for Kadick. We'll do a whole bear theme there. Anyway.
You know, I already have my like my grandfather name like ready, locked, and loaded.
Papa Bear, right?
Papa Bear. Yeah,
this is you've mentioned this on the show a couple times before. This is really a throwback, a callback. But I think this all began. We were watching TikTok videos of polar bears hunting from the BBC documentary Frozen Planet 2. So that's if you were around for that episode, congrats. Yeah. You're one of the OGs.
Lucky enough to get a video from me of my Popper Bear bits, like, you know, the meme OG thing. That's like a function on your phone that you can become an animal and talk. That's what I go to. What is it called? A memoji?
I thought you were saying like meme space OG, like the original.
I think it's all one
memes.
Word. I'm not sure.
Memoji, I think it is. Memoji. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. I think everyone knows what you're talking about. I hope to attempt to segue this back to golf, which is what we're nominally here to discuss.
Can I leave you with this as we get into golf? Yes. So this was a quote from, from Roy McIlroy last night talking about TGL. More so talking about Tiger. Now, there's a little bit of sunshine pumping here. Obviously, he's got a lot of stake in this, him and Tiger both. So, like, you're going to understand. Like, you're not going to hear any, like, man, things aren't quite where they are right now. But last night was a really big win for TGL, having Tiger.
Huge.
And Roy on the same place. And then we get to, you know, finally, like, a really, really interesting match. And so he said, I've shared the course with him many times talking about Tiger. And I've been in a couple final groups with him, and he has just as much intensity out there tonight as he does when he's trying to win a major championship or trying to finish off a golf tournament. He was feeling it out there, and it was really cool to see. So I'll leave this with you, Charlie, because I would tend to agree, but then also sprinkle in a little bit of, you know, just a side of Tiger that, of course, that we didn't grow up seeing, which is, you know, I think we've seen more of Tiger opening up of all of the inside jokes that you kind of saw with JT over the years, whether it was playing in the Bahamas or stuff that you see during pictures during practice rounds. You know, you actually see the pearly whites of Tiger, and we've seen that as he's gotten older and not playing as much. But this TGL is like the best form of how we can still, you know, capture Tiger Woods, which is, you know, he doesn't have to walk. You know, he's able to still pump out drives like that. The sphere hole, him and Rory both hit drivers, you know, right over the corner of that sphere. And it still has the pop. So to me, I'm like, OK, if this is where I'm going to see Tiger's intensity trying to win something, give it to me. Right.
100%. I think that if you're looking at the different contexts, you know, the lenses through which we view Tiger, and there's obviously the original one, the icy cold competitor, laser focused. The most often we've seen him get away from that in recent years has been playing the PNC with Charlie and still competing, of course, and they still want to win badly. But you're seeing the huge smile, just the pride of being a father and just giving him hugs and just this he, while competing, this sort of different context of Tiger that we've ever seen before. I think that's why we delight so much in watching those two play that tournament together. And for us now, that resonates with us as fathers. It's the most special thing in the world. So I love that we've gotten to see that side of him. And also, even when you take that to TGL, it's cool to see Charlie there for all of his matches in the stands, Tiger's mom there in the stands. It's a really cool thing where, you know, after the blowout, their first loss, you know, Tiger waving to his mom, hey, mom, I'm not going to suck tonight. And just fun things like that. You just don't see Tiger in that context. And then taking that a step further, you know, just even when they're losing, And it's not fun for anybody to lose. I mean, no. We saw that like night one when I was watching my Bay Boys, you know, beat up on New York. there was a first four or five holes having fun, and then none of those guys on the New York side particularly were enjoying themselves because no one likes to get beat on national TV. But even in that context, Tiger watching Kevin Kisner blade a bunker shot off a flagstick and just laughing as hard as we've ever seen him laugh with Max Homa at that.
It was incredible.
It's so good. So I think those things are cool. But to your point on the competitive edge and the competitive approach, 100% it feels like it's still there. And I think it's, you know, you can make, you know, for people who are looking at the quality of his game and like, you know, having trouble getting out of the bunker. So did Tom Kim. We've heard Ricky Fowler come on the show. Numerous people talk about it's tough to figure out those bunkers with like the artificial turf underneath it and the bunker sand on top of it. Tough to figure out how to play those correctly. Mm-hmm. The putting, the pace, where his pace control on some of these putts has not been great. It's tough for anyone to read those greens. I saw tweets, I forget who it was from, but like I'm convinced that these might be the most difficult greens to putt in the world. You're trying to figure out the pace and the changing slope. So it's like all these things where you're like, maybe you'd like for him to be, you know, more sharp as a competitor. Everyone's having trouble with that. And in terms of the focus, I mean, it's hilarious. I feel like it happens numerous times every one of these matches where they're trying to talk to Tiger in his ear. Hey, Tiger, what, you know, Matt Barry last night, Tiger, what do you see on this putt? And he's like, it's like he's completely blocked him out and he's in the read with Kiz and Tom Kim and trying to, okay, I feel like this is the low point. And I think it does this at the hole. He is so laser focused on trying to win this thing. And I love that there's this arena, to your point, that we can see Tiger in that strips away all the things that are going to make it hard for him to do that in regular tournament golf.
Well, I was just sitting here thinking about where, you know, and Tiger is at in his career, and we know that he's not able to put the reps in. He can't play as many tournaments. So it's going to be very difficult for him to have a whatever chapter you want to call this in his career. It feels like we've had so many with Tiger over the years. But I feel like moving forward, and I think for the most part, you know, if we saw him pick off a PGA Tour event, great. I don't see that really quite as much. Maybe it's just because he just won't get the reps in. But I still feel like, just like how Freddie Couples, every year when he would show up to the Masters, didn't matter how old he was, he'd find a way to like find his way into contention. And he did that for like a 5-year period. Does that feel about right, Charlie? Mm-hmm, when he was probably, he was playing on the, I would say the Champions Tour a little bit at that time, but old enough to still have enough pop in his bat. But it's a golf course that it doesn't change pretty much. You could play it year after year with all of the course knowledge that he has. And to me, that feels like the only place that Tiger can still have that one more magical moment. I know that you can look at all of his data from all of the last however many years where, you know, if he makes the cut, he's at the back half of the deal. And if we're lucky to see him play 4 days, it seems like to me now that the pop in the bat's still there and he's not really laboring around quite as much. Now, I know he's walking on flat terrain, but it seems like whatever surgery he had this past offseason, I still have just... I know the hope meter is like really low on the bar, but out of 100, if we were at 1, maybe we're closer to 10 now because I've seen enough. Now, I will say that the rust is definitely there. You could see it in TGL at times with shots, but I'm not ruling out the fact that Tiger can make the cut at the Masters and, you know, be a somewhat part of a storyline. I think that's still possible at this stage of his career, based on what we've kind of seen, whether it be at TGL mm-hmm. or at the PNC. That's just kind of what I've seen.
Yeah, I don't think that's far off. I think, you know, the Freddie Couples example is a good one because I feel like where we end up with him is he's always... It's either like a first round leader type of situation or he has a great round on Friday, just in and around it. And I could absolutely see that sort of thing for Tiger as well. I mean, I think it was might have just been this last year where there was like that really windy day. That's exactly
he played good last year, like the first 2 days. And then he just ran out of steam because of his body, man.
Well, and that's what's required, I think, at that venue is so much of it is knowledge of how to play Augusta National the right way. And so when you get the conditions kicking up like that and guys are making careless mistakes, those are things that, you know, Tiger's mistakes aren't going to be you know, careless mistakes. They're going to be his body betraying him in a way, you know, just he used to be able to swing a golf club in this sort of way. And it's just hard for him to do that anymore with the physical limitations he has. But I do think that, especially because I do think he's going to play on the Champions Tour and embrace it. I think he's excited about being with his contemporaries again, playing on a tour where it's completely acceptable to use a golf cart. And I don't know if he's going to play a full schedule on the Champs Tour, but I think having a place where he can not feel rusty, right? Mm-hmm. Playing in enough events where he's coming into majors with some sort of competitive reps, where, you know, Bernhard Langer's played great in recent memory at Augusta. You know, there are a lot of guys that just come in and kind of turn back the clock a little bit, and they're fun to see. So I think that that's
– you just don't see him playing – like, if he goes out and plays a Torrey for his event, that just seems like it's not going to go well. Riviera seems like you have a chance because the rough is not an issue there. But there's some, you know, that Kikuyu rough, which, by the way, do you mind spelling Kikuyu rough for me while we're live on
air? K-I-K-U-Y-U.
You're a West Coast guy. I forget that.
I'm a West Coast guy.
And I'm not going to fact check you.
I'm
just going to say ding, ding, ding. Well done.
I'm a journalist and a West Coast guy, which that's like the combo you need if you want to spell Kikuyu correctly. It doesn't sound how it's spelled. I totally agree. And to kind of turn a little bit back to TGL and last night in particular, at the time we're recording this on a Tuesday, you're of course listening to this on a Wednesday. So we're referring to the Monday night match between Jupiter Lynx and Boston Common that went overtime for the first time. And in just perfect chef's kiss fashion, the winning shot in the overtime is Kevin Kisner's cross-handed pitch that barely stays on the back of the green. And Adam Scott, by the way, I love that penalty kick style thing where you could get a match on closest to the pin. I think that's great drama. What would you like to see?
My biggest complaint is that why did we not get to have some form of Tiger and Rory to decide who's going to win the match?
But that is to me, again, as all someone who loves soccer, is that or football, depending on which region of the world you're listening to this in, is that that's like penalty strategy. You know, it's the age old, like, do I send my best penalty taker out first so I can mount a lead, or do I send him out last so that when the pressure's on, he's the guy that gets it done? So I think they're probably everyone's learning that. The teams themselves, the producers of the events. What they should have done is led with Tiger Rory, but they're thinking, oh, we're gonna lead up to this, we'll get, you know, some splits. It's like, well, if it doesn't even get there, then you just saved your best penalty taker.
It was a really hard shot too, because totally the slope
crest was that ridge.
Well, it was a really non-realistic slope that if you took it at the flag, it was going to kick it way left. But if you took it right, there was nothing to bring it back. So there was like this 1-inch gap that you could potentially get the correct kick. And Kiz hit a good shot, it looked like. Yeah. Even Keegan looked like he felt like he had a good shot.
Sure.
But I think personally, if I could create the, you know, my perfect playoff, I think the threesomes thing they start out with would be a great way to finish it off, because every person gets a shot. Mm-hmm. And if it's, I don't know, a par four seems like it'd be too long to me. So maybe just do par three. So you pick two out of your three players, and potentially a third, depending on what happens. But that seems like that would be a lot of fun, is to go play one of these island green holes that they have, par three, and do it that way.
Yeah, or like, again, you know how my lens on all this is, make it more absurd. It's like, just get those 567 hydraulic plates and turn that green to like a putt-putt course. you're going through a clown's mouth, a putting contest. Like, you got to putt it around this hole, and you got to go up to the top, and then whoever wins, it's total absurdity. But at that point,
I do like that there's something that everybody can really see that's in the stadium, yes, like
instead of the simulator. Yeah.
So there is that aspect, but I'm sure that the Duke basketball crowd was just like, could somebody end this last night? Which is great that we're cutting into basketball.
Fun fact, how weird is this, right? As a North Carolina Tar Heel, all four of the TGL matches have either been led into or led into a Duke or a Carolina basketball game. Three of them have been Duke games. The other one's been Carolina.
Shocker, the ESPN's putting on Duke and North Carolina games from the ACC package. What else are they going to do?
No, I just think it's just interesting to me that it always ends up being those games at those times. I guess so. Yeah.
just a reminder how TV works.
All right, I thought it was a cool stat, dude. I thought it was a cool Tobacco Road rivalry stat.
Easy
man.
Parts. Easy.
I look, I'm all hopped up on the natural grass they're putting back in Keenan Memorial Stadium for Carolina football.
Here we go. We're at somehow Drake we always May. Transition with North Carolina football.
Drake May cameo on the TGL telecast last night. Just love seeing the heels everywhere. I think that last night was a great step in the direction of when this is a close match and it's entertaining. You know, that is, it's a really, really good product, I think. And I'll be curious to see what the ratings are for this in terms of uniques and total viewership, because I think that an average viewership, because I think these numbers are going to be, if they don't reach, you know, at least reach the high water mark of week two for Tigers debut, I think they might even surpass in terms of average throughout the entire thing. And that's why I'd say is like, let's not be so married to the sanctity of the competition in terms of this has to feel legit if it's a blowout. Like, let's create as many levers and betting options as we can to keep this thing close until the very, very end. So what we're producing is good television. Like, it's a made for television sport. So let's make it for television.
So typically I would not suggest something like this, but I really would be compelled. And I still feel like one day eventually having live teams compete in this would be really cool. Amazing. I would be all into that. I would be really interested in some form of a YouTube team with like Wesley, brother, Grant, and Garrett, like that being a team. I think people would flock to watching those four guys try to take down just like a typical PGA Tour team. And if they beat him, it's like, man, this is just validation that, hey, these guys are good in a format like this. And I think a little bit too much that if you go look at these teams and you try to figure out, it's like, all right, Jupiter Lynx is a great example. You have one of the best players of all time in Tiger Woods. And then you have personalities of Max Homa, who's an incredible golfer, Kevin Kisner, who's the part of his career where this is perfect for him, right? Like, if this is what golf looks like for Kiz, which is playing some PGA Tour golf, playing some TGL and doing some broadcasting, that's like a perfect part of his career for him. And then Tom Kim, who's like an up and comer, we get to like see more of what we like to see from the Presidents Cup. Like, it's a perfectly structured team when it comes to TGL. Now, I think you could go and argue when you look at five other teams that I think that like Boston Common's amazing. Like, but you could look at some other teams and I don't have to like, we don't have to dig too far into this on like what players this would be, but you're going to have to like give us more than what you typically do at PGA Tour events. Or honestly, like, dude, put in Joel Damon, put in Harry Higgs, like put in guys that like Wesley Bryan that have personalities that aren't afraid to lean in, because it's not for me about like seeing like a ridiculous ball speed or really good shots. Like, we see that every week. Like, I want to see some like fun, man. Like,
I could not agree more. I mean, and it's so hard, right? Because it's the balance, the scale you're trying to balance, right? Is if one team has all the good players, but they're all boring, they're going to boat race the team that has a bunch of interesting, fun guys, but don't have the talent. And then, so what are you going to end up with? Matches that aren't close. And that we arrive at our initial problem, which is people don't want to watch matches that aren't close. So it's like, how do you, I was really, really glad your Jupies won last night, because the league needed that.
You needed an upset. You needed, to show that, hey, it didn't matter what it looked like on paper, that another team could win. So that was really cool to see. And I guess my last thought on this is we get into a fun interview with Claire Rogers, who's does so much in the game of golf from a media perspective. Really fun interview. Is Tiger and Rory just how like playful they were with each other at times? And, you know, Tiger's always, you know, whether it's with Charlie or JT, you know, always giving himself grief back and forth. And you could see it yesterday between him and Rory, a lot of laughs, a lot of smiles, even pushing each other at times when it came to, man, I didn't think you're going to make that, or man, I can't believe you threw that hammer. That's like just inside look of what every person wants, which is access to these guys in their element, what it would be like watching them play a practice round or a day out at, in Jupiter somewhere.
I think, and the hope is that we get to continue to see more of that. We've seen flashes of it in every match. Yeah. And so it's
because that's what it is like. It really right. is. You know, we turn on the TV Thursday through Sunday and it's like these guys are competitors or athletes right. and this is what they do for a living. And it's it means something to them. This. Yeah, it means something to yeah. them. And I would hope the one thing I never want to see with TGL is them showing up what the purse is and how much money they make. I saw yes. that like last, the not this past one, but the one before, and it could not have turned me off more. I don't want to know what these guys make in TGL at all. It, too much about the game is about money. It, right. it kind of like pissed me off a little bit. I'm like, this is not what this is about. I don't, these guys can make as much money at TGL. I don't want to know about it.
Yeah.
Do
yeah,
not well, care.
And quite frankly, like in terms of thinking about the competition structure, I pay them almost nothing based on the actual competition. Like just pay them a base fee that is almost everything they're going to earn from this league.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying make it public,
they could be well paid and that's sure, fine,
but just don't make
it
public.
We don't need to know about it.
I guess my point being that if you incentivize, you know, taking the competition very seriously, you detract from entertainment factor.
Yeah.
And so it's like, we're about to talk to Claire and she's going to make a suggestion that says there should be a TGL PIP. And it sounds like it's kind of a tongue in cheek suggestion, but in reality, there's something there of like incentivize being entertaining. Don't incentivize taking it seriously and you know, I hate to rip
well,
off
it's a balance,
label, like,
right?
Like, you know, trying to like, I'm not going to use a hammer because that's not the correct competitive move. It's like, we need the hammer to make this interesting.
Last night, why it worked is that there was really good balance because you had players that like you could tell that the intensity was there. You could tell they were nervous at times. And like when Tom Kim left that bunker shot in the bunker, everybody was like, and you know, just you could just feel
totally
the embarrassment that Tom Kim is dealing with in this moment. It's like, gosh, I have Tiger, I have, you know, kids, like they were relying on me, and I leave this bunker shot in the bunker. And then you could see him just try to regather himself, and he's like, all right, I can do this. And then he almost holds the bunker shot, and then you get that, you know, that moment of Tiger and Kiz and Tom all thinking that he holds a bunker shot. Then you get the reactions from the other team. That's when this is at its best. You can't just have these guys go treat it like a normal PGA Tour event.
No.
You need to have the intensity. You need to have some level of focus. You need to have the banter. And you need to have just a way to be self-deprecating at the same time. And I thought last night was a perfect example of like how it can work. And to me, it was really well done.
I guess very well said. And let's continue to talk about that now, Smiley, with a guest we're very excited about, someone we've talked to about having on the show for months now, maybe even feels like years, Claire Rogers. So Claire is, I would call her the content queen of the golf internet. I mean, the amount of memes and images and callbacks she generates on X, on Instagram, TikTok, absolutely hilarious. She is a TGL digital host, so you can find a lot of her work on TGL.com during the match, post-game interviews. And she's also with Golf.com, host of The Scoop, which is, if you don't know it, it's a hilarious show where she sits down and gets ice cream with people in the golf world. So multifaceted, multi-talented person in the golf media world, and is going to provide a lot of insight here on TGL and a little sit-down she had with the GOAT last night. In the wake of the Jupiter Lynx win. So let's get right to it. Here is Claire Rogers on the TGL.
All right, guys. Welcome in to Claire Rogers joining us here today. Claire just got finished last night with the TGL. I mean, I'll say from my couch, I know Charlie probably feels the exact same way. That was the most exciting, you know, episode, I would say, of this rendition of TGL. What say you?
I agree. It was close. It was, the whole thing was fun. And having Tiger and Rory, the guys who kind of, you know, came up with this idea and the ones whose faces have been, you know, plastered onto it since the beginning, to have them go together. Tom Kim was just, I would say, in President's Cup form, maybe
he
last
was,
night.
He was great.
So much fun. Yeah. And then, you know, Kistner brought his A game. But even, you know, that was the first one that was close, and they had the overtime, I guess, kind of like a chipping contest. So I think right until the very end, it was, you know, I was holding both interview cards for both teams, and I was like, I don't know which one I'm going with here. So it was really, really fun.
And Claire, I mean, you mentioned Kevin Kisner obviously went from the last time they were out there thinning a bunker shot off the flag stick, which was hilarious, high comedy, to winning this in overtime with a cross-handed chip. So about as much of a reversal of fortunes as you could have had. But we buried the lead a little bit here because you, of course, are, as we all are on the show, big-time Tiger aficionado, grew up falling in love with the game through the lens of Tiger. So I have a brief little show and tell here that we have to kind of do these one at a time, right? So first of all, here you are with Tiger last night. Claire's first ever Tiger interview, which is electric. But that's not where we're going to stop here, right? Because we had, you're not the only person on the show that sat in a media context with Tiger in very recent memory. We had, of course, Smiley at the Hero here in the booth. So I'm doing my research and I'm feeling a little bit left out here. And I'm thinking, you know, how can I get in the mix with these two? So I just have one last piece of show and tell here.
Photoshop with you and Tiger together.
No, this is about two weeks ago. You know, me and Tiger just.
Oh my gosh.
So we can officially say everyone on the show has had some piece of interface with Tiger. That is a roundabout way of setting up Claire. First interview with Tiger. How was it? I mean, it's got to be amazing.
Oh my gosh. It was so fun. So basically, well, you guys know, like I'm usually, you know, for golf.com in the media center. And so I'll go to the press conferences and I've kind of, you know, gotten more confident in that over the last couple of years. I remember the first time I asked a question, I don't even remember what player it was, but like my voice was shaking as I asked it just because I was so not used to, you know, you're in front of a couple, you know, at the Genesis, there's like over 100 people in there. So I think it was good that it took a couple of years to get to this, because I don't think it would have gone very well if I had gotten this opportunity 2 years ago. So, but it was good. I felt like I didn't even need my notes because I've thought of, you know, what am I going to ask him for so long? And he was great. He was in a great, you know, mood after that win. And then he had like some funny moments with Kisner. So I got to ask about that, and he had said they worked out together earlier in the day, which I thought was funny. And then I don't know if you guys saw, I was like kind of semi-viral on Twitter, but he was walking in like with the jeans, the hoodie.
Yes.
And I had to ask what he was drinking, because I was like, that looks like it's a blended Starbucks drink to me. But everybody on Twitter was like, no, he's a latte guy. And I was like, I think he switched it up this time. And it was a Frappuccino.
What was the order?
So I was like, I led him into it. I was like, was that a Frappuccino? And he was like, yeah. He goes, triple shot. So, but the thing was massive.
Triple shot Frappuccino.
Oh, yeah. Here's
had to get that energy up. And I would say he definitely had it. Yeah, there it is.
Yeah. That's what, you know, maybe that was what he needed. I love the video we saw of him turn to his mom. Hey, mom, I'm not going to suck tonight. So, oh, you know, that in between the Frappuccino and trying to show up for mom. Love that for him. Big
it's
win.
So funny. All these stars that are there, but then also like they're people that are there, because you know, we know who Tito Woods is, but I think a lot of the people who are there are younger golf fans who don't know. And so you're kind of like walking by her in the hallway and I'm like, that's Tiger's mom. And people are like, no.
That's clear. You make a good point about just, you know, last night there were some legit celebrities at this TGL match. And if you'd have put in all of those people, you know, at a PGA Tour event, PGA Tour would be freaking out. I mean, I saw the list and they left out people. That's how, you know, that's how many guys were, celebrities were there. I mean, I know that a lot of these celebrities are invested in TGL, so there's a reason for them to be there. But still, I mean, when you turn on the TV and you see Niall Horan, you see Noah Kahn, and other weeks you see Serena Williams, I just think there's some cool value to that.
Totally. It keeps it, you know, exciting. Alex Morgan was there a couple of weeks ago, and it's fun to get their perspective on the whole thing, I think, because they're coming from obviously the sports world, many of them, but also kind of, you know, a different sport or something else. So that's been fun. But yeah, Noah Kahn, I also think, so that place holds 1500 people. So the percentage of really famous people in that building is pretty high when you think about it, because there's, you know, 10 or 12 or 20 of them every week.
So, Claire, as we mentioned in the lead into this interview, you are a digital host for TGL. And of course, in addition to, of course, host of the massively successful season one of The Scoop, season two coming soon for golf.com. But not to put you on the spot here, get you in trouble at all, but you know, just given your role with the TGL these first few weeks, just looking at what has really worked, the things that really got us excited, and maybe just a list of things that you maybe have heard internally already, or you in your own opinion might get tweaked in the offseason. What are your takeaways thus far from TGL?
Yeah. Well, so I will say, like, this is my first kind of broadcast experience. So everything's been new to me, where kind of like the experts are the ones kind of ironing out everything week in and week out, where I'm like, well, I've never done this before, so I think it went well. I have nothing
to compare to,
which is kind of a good place to be.
It seems like everybody had a good time. Everybody's laughing, having fun. I mean, yeah.
I liked my outfit. What else do we need to work on? I would say, like, I mean, you can't really control this, but having those closer matches is definitely, you know, big. And then just, I think, and this kind of even goes back to like the Justin Thomas letter. I think when it's not close, being able to lean on the personalities of the players to keep up the banter, because that's kind of why I like golf, right? To hear what these guys are saying. Like, I thought, like, when they were, you know, Jupiter Links was losing a few weeks ago, to have kids kind of show up and have this big personality, that to me kept it really interesting. So I think it's more so like keeping, how do we get the players to stay super engaged during it? And, you know, Marty Smith is, you know, the face of it when we're there. And he's been just so, so good. And I've gotten to learn a lot from him. So that's been good. And then there's just been like other little things where week to week, like maybe they'll have me and be in a different booth at the beginning or something, just, you don't know, to like foot traffic and everything, but really just little stuff that they've kind of been working on.
Well, I got an idea for you, Claire, on the blowouts, especially when Tiger's playing, just go sit next to Charlie, you know, just sit there and interview Charlie. You know, I wouldn't mind just an alternate feed of just him, whether it's talking crap about Tiger or Kiz or just his hot takes. I mean, I still feel like, you know, we haven't had the moment where you get on Instagram, you see Charlie Woods join Instagram yet. So until then, we just kind of imagine what he's like and picture it, you know, at PNC every year, where we just get a little glimpse inside of what type of person Charlie is.
Totally. And I think nobody does the trash talk to Tiger better than he does. So that would be
they
very
throw it
fun.
Both ways, it seems like. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we need like more, we need like a, you know, an old man's like the scotch game. The guys are like 50s and 60s of the club, where they have all these different categories, you know, pulleys and sandies. That's what I think we need for scoring for TGL. It's where it's like, okay, even if you finish dead last, you know, Kevin Kisner had the most bunker shots off the flag. Like that'd be my great suggestion, is create a whole level of scoring that's completely abstract from the competition itself and lean into that absurdity. But
like
it's
TGL.
Yes, yes, exactly. Yes, that is what we need.
$10 million for just being fun on TV. That would be great.
Yes, TGL PIP is where it's at. No, I love that. So Claire, preseason, if you were creating an odds list of who was going to have the first shot clock violation of TGL, where would Tiger have fallen on that list?
So how many players are there? 4 times 6. I went
to LSU. That's 24.
I would say he's the bottom four.
Yeah. I'd buy that. Smiley.
He would have been in the top half for me, just knowing like how intentional he is and how focused he can be at times. I definitely had Tom Kim towards the top. I have Cantlay towards the top. Yeah. But what I've been watching too, Charlie, and is that guys have figured out how to kind of cheat the system a little bit. You know, if they're hitting second, or if their player hits a shot onto the green, they get over there. Like they're already trying to get in position. They're getting their club. So really, I think the people that have to worry about it more is that when it's your honor, like when it's your play, I think that's when the team that feels more rushed. But if you can hit the further drive, and I think that kind of sets you up to just have a little bit more time to think about the shot.
Yeah. I noticed that with Ricky a couple weeks ago. He was just, you know, like in basketball, somebody hangs out at the other to catch and get the layup. He was just posted up down there. But yeah, I think also because Tiger, like, he's been like the face of the league. So I was like, there's no way. You know, the hammer, that's his thing. The shot clock, that's his thing. And then to see it yesterday, although I would say he got it off, right? Like just as it was going.
It was like a monitor. It wasn't a buzzer beater by any like it was. Okay. It wasn't even close. I didn't think.
I was trying to stick up for him, but I didn't see it until after. So,
And speaking of the hammer, if Justin Thomas's team ever decides that it's a good idea, even though from a strategy standpoint, it wasn't smart for them to give up the hammer. If you ever see him do that again, will you yell at him for me, please? That was ridiculous. I don't care how smart Cantlay. I don't care how smart Cantlay is and how many problems and what the stats and the analytics say. That hammer needs to come out presented by FedEx.
Because it's fun. Like, we need to have fun with it, right? Yesterday, yeah. I saw Tiger needed it, and Rob had to sprint out and hand it to him. I was like, this is the drama that we need here. So, yeah, it was so funny to hear Cantlay, whispering in his ear, statistically, it's better to have it.
That's what I heard. Are the same thing. I was like, what the heck are we doing?
Or lean into that. Like, we need some presenting sponsor for Patrick Cantlay's TGL analytics of, percentage of whether or not it'd be smart to use the hammer in the situation. Yeah. Maybe also presented by FedEx. Yeah. That's kind of my thing on the gamification is if it doesn't make sense from a gameplay perspective to use the hammer, give us more gambling options. Like, let's lean into, you should be able to press whenever you want to, just a whole suite of gambling items you can do to make this thing. There can still be a regular win and loss column, but there should be all these extra categories of just gambling silliness to emulate real golf that amateurs play.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, so Claire, you've had an opportunity to kind of, as all the teams have all the teams competed yet?
Yes.
All six yet? Okay, so you've seen everybody now live at the SoFi Center. If you had to do some form of redraft where you decided to pick Claire's team, meaning this doesn't have to be the best player. This can just be, the most fun person. Like, we can't leave Kevin Kisner and Billy Horschel off this team, right? Like, are those the top two picks for you? And then how do we fill out the rest of this roster?
Okay, those two secured.
So you're in for the Dirty Bird. You were in for that whole thing.
I also think Billy has kind of risen to the occasion the most, right? Like, he's all in on it. He's so fun. It was great.
He may never go back to real golf. I think he just.
Why would you, right?
This is built for Billy.
Yeah, exactly. I think Max Homa.
Okay.
Based on fun, he's not as, I guess, animated as those two, but he was so funny during his last match. Like, he kept it going. And then it's too easy to say Tiger. So I'm not going to say Tiger, even though I'm just going to pretend he's unavailable because we got to keep it.
Well, even with that, you saying Tiger, I mean, that's the Jupe Lynx, Claire. Like, here you are, a Boston Common fan, and you have me here, who's been a Jupiter Lynx fan for as long as I can remember. And there's plenty to jump on the bandwagon. They had so many people saying that they should just, put them down in relegation, Jupe Lynx, after week one. And here we are with a better record than the Boston Common.
Yeah, but Boston comes back next week, so we'll have to circle back.
Okay, that's true. All right, who's your four? Sorry to cut you off.
All right. Well, okay, something interesting that I caught, actually, was I was surprised Justin Thomas and Tiger didn't end up on the same team.
Well, they like competing against each other, too.
That's true. Okay, that's fair.
And there always is, I don't know what the financial thing is for all these players, what it means to be the top guy on a team. I don't know.
That's fair.
I'm sure there's reasons.
All right, my fourth. We need more of a serious guy now.
Oh, I didn't take Claire having a serious person on their team. You can get Adam Scott on your team so you can just stare at him.
You took the name out of my mouth. That's what I was thinking. Okay, so when I interviewed him on The Scoop, before we start, he goes, I just want you to know I'm very boring. He goes, my whole family calls me vanilla because I like to wear beige and I'm boring. And he wasn't boring. He was not boring at all.
He's not boring.
And I think even last night, I thought he was the perfect guy with his team. Like, maybe he wasn't the one making the jokes, but he was the one reacting to them. He was the one laughing. He was the one,
You definitely need a friend that will always hype you up and also laugh at all your jokes.
Yeah.
You know, always have a smile on your face.
Like, I need that. So, but yeah, I think he would be great. Adam Scott as the captain.
All right. So we got Adam Scott, Kevin Kisner, Billy Horschel, and Max Homa. What do you name your team? Boston Common?
No, we need like, I'm from Rhode Island. We need like a.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. What would Rhode Island even be?
The Rhode Island.
Roadies. The Roadies.
The Roadies. Yeah. There we go.
With a sick logo.
That's a double entendre, too.
An ice cream you scoop beverage with you. Holding a roadie.
Oh.
Yes. Perfect.
Wow. I think we nailed it.
Will you be my graphic designer when we get there?
Yeah. I'm a big ideas guy. And I want you
Smiley's a big MS Paint guy. He can work that
Charlie
right
and
up
I
for
need
you.
To turn this into a full-time operation. That was well done.
All right. Claire's Roadies. I like that. That's a very solid team right there.
Thank you, guys.
It really came together nicely. I will say, in terms of actual on-course participation, I'm of course entirely unbiased, as you can see by everything that I'm wearing today. But I mean, my Bay Boys, we're looking like a wagon right now. And we got Smiley's Jupies finally picked one off, but Smiley's in fourth place. The Ball Frogs have a match in hand in fifth place. And the Bay Boys are sitting pretty in second place, also with the match in hand. I feel like it's going to, I'll say it this way. I'm not afraid of LAGC at all. I think this is the Bay's looking like a juggernaut. Still haven't debuted Min Woo. So here's what I want to get from you, Claire, is first of all, it's a twofold question here. First is, who do you think is going to hoist this TGL, the SoFi trophy at the end of the season? Second is, what's your prediction for, this is a complete zag, how Hideki Matsuyama is going to be in his debut for Boston Common? Are we going to see a translator? Are we going to get comedy via the translator? I'm so excited for Hideki's debut.
Oh my gosh. Okay. The first question. Yeah, you're right. I hate to say I've kind of forgotten about the Bay, but they were the first week and I've been focused. I'm always focused on the next, you know? So I kind of, but they're coming back and they're playing twice the week of the doubleheader. So we'll get them. How do you pronounce Ludwig? I call him Luddy in my head.
Ludwig Oberg.
Oberg, yeah. It's Ludwig. Changed like three times, so we should just call him whatever we want to.
Luddy. I just say Luddy. So,
yeah.
he was a star. So I'm excited. I could definitely see them. Shane Lowry, Wyndham. They were a lot of fun. I don't know. All right. My original take is it's going to be the Bay or Boston Common, even though they're off to a bad start.
Mm-hmm.
Pressure makes diamonds. I think that's I think that's the phrase.
Is there a do we get to a playoffs? Is that what it is?
Oh like, yeah.
Yeah.
Is when how many teams make the playoffs? Like three?
Or four.
No, probably four
teams.
Okay. Yeah. God, it would be great for us to make the playoffs.
And the championship is a best of three series.
Okay.
How about that?
Yeah. All right. Hey, what do y'all switch over to ESPN2? I'd heard that's like a thing.
Smiley,
You're talking to Claire is the TGL.com digital host, and I, as you know, am your co-host on this show, so I don't have the programming schedule in front of me for ESPN switchover.
All right, one quick question, Claire, because I think what's another cool aspect about TGL is these guys are really leaning into their like pregame outfits, like inside the NBA would check in on the players walking in. Like, Claire, that's right up your alley. It's like, let's see what these guys fashion is like outside of the golf course. What kind of bags they're wearing.
Yeah.
You know, who's going to take it seriously? Who isn't? You know, it's your fashion show. And I think some of these guys are taking the walk seriously.
Yeah. Kiz was in socks last week, which kind of threw me off a little bit. But I thought Rory looked great yesterday. He had like a green. I don't know if it was corduroy.
Yeah. I noticed it. It was good.
With the Red Sox Red Sox jersey.
Yeah.
Trying to think what else. I think Tiger, it's always just like
iconic.
Makes me laugh. Like the jeans.
Backwards hat.
It's like Navy SEAL mode every time. Just
No,
like got off of like a 12-hour Call of Duty kick. Let's rock and roll.
We need someone to go full suit.
Oh, I like that.
That is great. I would love to I'm going to put that bug in JT's head. He would
Thank
do it.
Thank you.
He would do it.
Or like we need Kiz to do like a Russell Westbrook outfit.
Yeah.
We need like a mesh tank top with like, you know, orange reflective pants and like Birkenstocks and socks. Just all right. Go all the way off the board.
They have there's an Instagram page like NBA Fits, and it's all the walk-in fits. They need to go to that page, get some inspiration, and come back to us.
Claire, that's like your like golf fits.
Let's make it happen.
We need that to be another deal in the Claire Rogers umbrella here.
Yeah,
exactly. I like that.
I just wanted to get a follow up there on the Hideki thing because that question was not answered, and I really need to get to the bottom of that one.
I think his translator will definitely be there.
On the floor.
Maybe he'll serve as like, you know how Rob McNamara's kind of just been like hanging out by the the digital caddy. Maybe that'll be
okay.
But I think Hideki also knows more English than everybody thinks.
Oh yeah, he does.
So. And this is not to interrupt, but this is, I agree with that. And you've heard that it's a respect thing, which is, I totally understand, you know, given Japanese culture and everything. But I wonder if that same set of, that same approach applies to something like a TGL. I totally understand why he does it in a normal professional golf arena. Does he decide to loosen up a little bit and speak some English and it's something that's less serious like TGL? These are the questions that I need answered. I'm excited to find out.
React to what his teammates are saying. He'll laugh. He'll have, you know, one or two words in there to react, but I don't think he'll be the one initiating the banter.
Okay.
That's fair.
My take.
That's fair.
I mean, if he does, it'd be like the biggest, you know, explosive viral moment.
Imagine
of all
he
time.
Comes in and he's like talking just like we are right now, but like all trash talk. We're like, wait, where did this come from? And then the next week he goes back to saying no more of this on tour.
I was
all right, Claire. So you're an incredible follow on X, and
thank you.
I just want to know how your mind works. Like when you see something, can you just see it normally? Or do you have to think about how can I get a caption, meme? So or some type of witty response. Like, I feel like anything in golf, like it's a photo, it's an interview, it's a quote. Like your brain doesn't just go to, oh, that's really cool. It's probably much more to like how can we connect this to a show I've watched? Or how can we compare Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce somehow to this? I mean, your meme folder on your phone and just like saved images has to be deep, right?
So I'm going to tell you a secret. I don't have like a meme folder.
It's just where your brain pops. You're like Google.
It's just like my whole, like every time I see something, and sometimes it's annoying because like I'll be with friends and I don't want to be like, oh, that reminds me of this other thing that we saw 5 years ago. But that's like how my brain works. So if I see something with Tiger, sometimes I'm like, okay. Like when Letty had the chain on a couple weeks ago, I was like, I know Tiger wore a chain.
Yeah,
he had a hat on.
Yeah, it was Halloween thing, right?
Yeah, it took me like 30 seconds isn't that long, but it felt like a year. I was like, I know it's on the internet, but I don't know exactly what to Google because chain wasn't coming up. So then I was like, denim costume, it was there. So I kind of just used Google, but yeah, whenever I see something, like it just reminds me of something else that I've seen before, and then I kind of can put it together. So
that's the extensive thing on your phone, not the meme folder, like the Google search bar, the things that Claire has searched over the years to try to find Tiger wearing chain 2009-ish. Like,
or I'll be like in Getty Images searching like Tiger red carpet because I thought it was red carpet and then it wasn't. Yes, it was something so else. Good. So
I'm Googling currently Claire Rogers viral X. I'm curious to see like what your best like tweet is. Like, do you have one that comes up?
Well, a couple weeks ago, some guy like kind of chirped me. Oh, so then I looked up his handicap.
Love
but
this.
That wasn't my best one.
That's one of your best bits. That's a good bit. It's like there are a couple of people who have like those slam bits. Like instead of just talking trash, they just come
what
back.
What was his handicap?
You got to keep doing that. This guy was lucky he's a 15.
To be fair, it wasn't that bad. But also, to be fair, I spend my time around professional golfers. So to me, it wasn't great.
Yeah, it's good.
So he basically said like, oh, like something about like lose weight or something. And I replied like, why don't you worry about yourself with a screenshot of his scores?
Oh, gosh.
But that wasn't like, I don't think that was my most creative
work. There's a dead body.
So I don't know what my best one would be. I think I went on a little bit of a heater during the PGA at Oak Hill.
Yeah, okay.
That was like my best one. That was Tiger 2000.
I feel like, Claire, that your true coming out party had to be, was it at WM when Rory came up to you on the tee box and was like, hey, I really like your stuff. Like that's got to be like the welcome to the league moment. Like yeah, I'm here like, now.
And I thought he was going to yell at me because I don't know. I went to Catholic school growing up. I always think I'm about to get yelled at. And so I'm like, it's during play too. So I'm like, oh, this can't be good. Am I in the way? Am I doing something? Because, well, Smiley, you've known, but like if you've never like grown up,
the crowded tee boxes, I get a lot of
like,
people.
Oh no, it's, I'm, my shadow's somewhere.
You're like, do I stand so like I'm this? Like, or where do I put my hands? No. Yeah.
Yeah. And his hand extends and goes, I'm Rory. I really like your work. It's funny.
There
I froze.
You go.
I was like, that's sweet. I like your golf.
That was a good response. It could have been a whole lot worse than that.
The thing. Like I saw the Bob Does Sports thing. I was like, I kept it quick and I let him get back to his stuff.
Poor Bobby. Ugh, that was tough.
I want the two of you now to, I'm going to pitch you against each other. I want you to debate as to which bump is more powerful. The scoop bump or the Smiley happy hour and or Smiley show bump. I mean, you two both have talismanic properties. Anyone who's around you ends up playing really good golf.
We have the happy hour did go on a bit of a heater. We did win a major. Bryson came on one. It was like 2 or 3 weeks in a row. So we did go on a bit of a heater. Claire, what about you?
Okay. Did you see? I'll text you this if you haven't seen it, but we did like a season two.
So good.
Season two. Promo.
Oh, was it like the I saw Pepe, like the yarn thing?
The Pepe Silvio yarn, okay.
Yeah,
so good.
And it was quite a few, but I still So Charlie, you might not know this. I tried to get Smiley on the scoop, but it didn't work out timing wise. It was Traveler's Week's hard.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Not that hard. I was just like in Boston and I couldn't get someone to film it. So once I got to get Smiley on the scoop, and then like the world will explode because like both of these bumps. You know,
has anybody just got on the scoop and just one bite? Everybody knows the rules and just like decided to eat the ice cream all at once. Would that ruin the interview if I did that?
The guest we have coming out tomorrow. She's like, Claire, you can't tell people who it is. So I won't say, even though just know who was my choice. You get all time. He ate the entire thing before we started and then was like, wait, you need to refill this.
That's incredible.
And then he ate it again. That was great.
That's amazing.
Do I know this person?
Senior tour.
Senior tour.
Oh, wow.
My guess is that it's Freddie.
No, Freddie's already been on, right? Freddie.
That seems like something Freddie would do, to be fair.
It does. But once you see who it is, you're going to be like, oh, of course he would do that. So.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Now I got my head spinning on who that would be.
This is kind of a spinoff on that, Claire. Have you tried the Häagen-Dazs caramel cone ice cream?
No, but Häagen-Dazs is usually what I buy when I pick up the ice cream.
Tillamook.
Don't walk. Run to your nearest ice cream purveyor. Okay. Häagen-Dazs caramel cone. I stumbled upon it at it was in Palm Beach actually. I went to the Willie's Pizza in the back of that Shell station in Palm Beach. You know the one that's like And on the way out, I was like, oh, you know what? I love a little after my pizza is a little ice cream. Caramel cone Häagen-Dazs, unbelievable. Probably the best ice cream I've ever had in my life.
I have it written down. I like have an ice cream spot. Look at all these are all the ice cream spots I've gone to.
Wow.
And I rate them.
I love that.
I know.
Don't need a meme folder. We just need an ice cream list and a Google search bar. Anything can happen.
The girl with the dream.
All right, Claire. Well, I know you got to get to a flight and back home and back to tweeting. Do we still say tweeting even though it's on X?
I was surprised you even said X here.
Yeah.
I know.
We don't want Elon coming after you, so I get it.
That's true. Well, I'm sorry about your Boston Common Golf, that you're 0-1. Everybody just kind of figured it was a shoe-in, that it was going to be a blowout. But Jupe Links prevails, and Claire continued to crush at TGL, as well as with golf.com and the scoop. And we hope to have you back on soon, Claire.
Thanks, guys. This was great.
Of course. See you, Claire.
Ton of fun talking to Claire about TGL, amongst other things, ice cream, things of that nature. I'm now, Smiley, very intrigued to see who this guest is. She's dropping on the scoop. I guess as we're speaking, it's out today because this person housed ice cream. And that's kind of I'm not proud to say it, but are you? Let me ask you this question. Do you, when you eat ice cream at home, do you put it in a bowl or do you eat it straight out of the carton?
Bowl.
Yeah.
I'm kind of savage out of the carton.
I'm a carton guy.
Do you chew your ice cream?
Chew?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how else would I? Do you just swallow it? Do you just put it in your mouth and just swallow it?
Lick it. You can suck it. I mean, it's correct, right? Like there's three ways that you could eat ice cream.
What are you talking about? What compelled you to say?
Have you never watched people eat ice cream? Some people just lick it. They just go like this. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yes, you can lick an ice cream if it's in a sugar cone, but I'm not putting my ice cream in a sugar cone at home.
Yeah. I guess that's a good point. But if we were talking about it being in a cone, then that argument potentially has some play.
Are we keeping all this in the show? We can workshop it right now. Are we keeping this in the show?
I don't know. Should we take a vote?
All right.
You're the producer.
The producer. God, this is a love, Burton. I wish Jax was still here. We could bring him on camera and ask him what he thinks.
Should we just call Jax?
Yeah, let's call Jax. That's good. That's a good idea. Let's get Jax on the horn. Okay. Let's see what Jax got for us. Hope he's not out working out or something.
Yes, sir.
Jax, you are live on the Smiley Show right now. I don't know if Smiley can hear you or not. I have you on speaker.
I can hear him.
He can hear him.
Okay, he won't be able to hear me. All right.
He can't hear you. Okay.
I'll just jump in the studio quick.
Okay, perfect. Jump in the studio.
We'd love to have you. Yeah.
That's great. All right. See you in a second.
Let me just ask him. It's like, how do you eat your ice cream, dude?
Yeah. Yes, please.
All right, Jax, I got a question for you.
What's up?
How do you eat your ice cream?
How would you describe
it to somebody?
Like the method of eating it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like,
how do you consume your ice cream? How would you describe how you eat your ice cream?
I guess it's not a lick. It's not a bite, I guess.
Would you call it a suck?
I think it's a suck. I think so. I don't know. I don't know how else to describe it.
You don't chew your ice.
I don't like chew it. Maybe for a bite or two, but like it's not like you're chomping on the ice cream, you know?
So you suck your ice cream.
Think so.
All right. Well, Jax, we were bringing you on to take a vote on whether or not we were going to include Smiley describing licking and or sucking ice cream in the show. But I think your answer here is solidified that we are going to now keep all this in. All right.
I think this is the perfect way to just segue out, Charlie. I think people need to get on with their days. We were going to talk Super Bowl. Wow. It's the Chiefs and the Eagles. Yeah. Big surprise. The NFL just planted this on us again. It should have been Bills, Commanders, in my humble opinion. That's what the people wanted. But of course, we got an Eagles fan, and Charlie Hume over here is just peacocking or flying or flapping, whatever you want to, how you're describing.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
The Eagles fans. And of course, we'll get the Taylor Swift mini box for another game.
I get why people don't want to see the Super Bowl. I really completely understand it. I would feel the exact same way if my in-laws weren't all diehard Eagles fans. And I also still get that the Eagles fan base is pretty insufferable, largely. So my condolences to America. I know you want to see a lot of other teams in this other than the Eagles and the Chiefs. But let me just say this is that think deep down in your heart and mind, you do not want to see the Chiefs win another Super Bowl. I'm so tired of the Kansas City Chiefs. I wish they would just go away. So
but nobody
find
really
it within
wants
yourself.
To win either. So I don't know what to tell you.
Root for the Eagles. Root for the Eagles. It's something different. It's a great story with Saquon Barkley returning home to Pennsylvania. I need you out there.
It's a shame he's so likable. You know,
he's so likable.
It's a shame that like Jalen Hurts is really likable. Did you see his post fit outfit smoking the cigar with the dad pants, khakis, like button up to the belly button? I was like, this guy, I'm unfortunately kind of digging the vibe of the Eagles, and it's a shame. I don't like I don't like Sirianni though. I don't like he's like cocky to me.
Sirianni is a little he's kind of like the NFL cocky version of the head coach of Indiana that is like, you know, Google me. But also I feel like you'd love to play for Sirianni. Like if he's your guy, he's good to
when things are well. I could see him being like spiraling out of control when things are not well.
Yeah, kind of like Brian Kelly. Was that low blow?
It's not even like that good of an example, but
Brian Kelly's known to spiral out of control when things aren't going well. True or
false?
You're
actually right, man. He's a tomato. Like, he turns into a purple grape when, like, he's like so composed in everything that he does. And then, like, one interception and he turns into Coach O somehow. It's like, what just happened?
This is either one of the best or the worst closing segments in Smiley Show history. And I guess we're just going to let the audience find out and tell us. Thanks for hanging out for the TGL recap. Either we're so sorry or we hope you enjoyed it. And I guess we'll be back for with an AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am recap next week. So we will talk to you then. See ya.
You know, I listen to this podcast. It's really cool. And
all of our lovely fans and subscribers, but make sure you like and subscribe.
It's cool to see what you guys are doing. I know golf fans appreciate it, but we do too. So please keep it up.
For all the good people of YouTube, like and subscribe.
You guys have some good takes. So I'm happy to come on and shoot the